Welcome to this edition of In Tune with Opera Philadelphia. My name is Mike Bolton, your host for this broadcast, and we are incredibly excited to bring you this podcast, this conversation about Lembit Beecher and Hannah Moskowitz's opera, Sky on Swings. We're joined by composer Lembit Beecher, Opera Philadelphia's New Works Administrator, Sarah Williams, and also two stars of the opera, Frederica von Stad, affectionately known as Flicka, and Marietta Simpson. For today's podcast, we'll talk a little bit about Opera Philadelphia's Composer-in-Residence program and our New Works commitment, as well as have a conversation with Lembit Beecher and a roundtable conversation about the work and Alzheimer's. Stay tuned. Welcome back to In Tune with Opera Philadelphia. We're going to start our conversation today with Opera Philadelphia's Sarah Williams. Sarah is our New Works Administrator, meaning that she oversees all of the new works generated and commissioned and co-commissioned by Opera Philadelphia. Hey, Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good, Michael. How are you doing?
Good.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. So, last year we had a lot of new world premieres. This year we thankfully have fewer, for your sanity. Tell us a little bit about this process and bringing a world premiere to the stage.
Absolutely. Opera Philadelphia is pretty known at this point for having a very sizable new works practice, and we're very proud of that. I think we're really proud of the artists that we're working with and creating space to explore and experiment and play and gear and walk right into the kind of creative paradise. We don't find any of our new works in one particular way. We don't have any process in which we go about in deciding upon what new work to commission and how to commission and who to commission. And I think that has served us well. And I think we kind of create an openness in conversation to see where the duality of the relationship between us in the company and the artist, whoever that is, in this case, the amazing Lembit Beecher, Hannah Moskowitz is the librettist, and opening a dialogue between the both of us to see kind of what we're gonna dig into and create, not necessarily together, but we wanna make sure that we're all on the same page and that we can support it, rightfully so. I think there's, we've learned how large of a lift new works are, and I think that's oftentimes not a conversation that a lot of companies have and acknowledge, and I understand why, but I think we're trying to walk into that and learn how to support it better, and I think my role in the company is a great example of that. This piece, Sky on Swings, is very kind of near and dear to the company's heart because we have a really very close relationship with Lembit Beecher in particular. Lembit, going way back, Lembit was our first composer in residence. The composer in residence program started, obviously, in 2011. It's funded by the Mellon Foundation, and it supports one composer for three-year residency, salary benefits, and everything else. And so we would have as much as three composers in residence at one time. So this was at a time that the company, we weren't yet commissioning ourselves. We were starting to maybe co-commission, but as the company was starting to grow further, we started wanting to explore new works further, but new works are, to commission on your own is very, very expensive. So we started putting our hands out there and co-commissioning with other companies such as Santa Fe when we did Cold Mountain, Oscar, et cetera.
Can I back up for 1 second?
Yeah.
So this first round for the Composer in Residence program had 200 some applications. What happens through the Composer in Residence program? What is the training in and of itself?
Yeah, it's actually a really open-ended program, and it's intentionally to be really kind of led to the individual creator themselves. We structured it simply as the first year would be a lot of observance. So that's observance in rehearsals and workshops and whatever else you could possibly get into. The second year is when there's collaboration that kind of starts. You start meeting with a lot of librettists and directors and dramaturgs, and maybe you start working with them on some smaller things. You maybe take voice lessons, depending if that person's interested, so they can kinesthetically feel what that is to support the voice and a phrasing and what it takes in your breath to do phrasing. And then the third year, ideally, there's kind of, out of all of that meeting collaboration, you're having an idea of maybe a scene or something else that you want to explore further. That's a really small breakdown of what the program entails. And then what we do from there is that we meet individually with the composer and kind of figure out a way to not only support their ideals and what they want to do, but also push them outside of their comfort zones, which we all need. But the real big, I think, groundwork and where the program itself is really kind of extraordinary is that it focuses a lot on writing for the voice and writing for the voice well. We know very much that, and you can speak to this, Lembit, much more than I can, but, you know, when you're coming out of even like a PhD program as a composer, you're getting so much opportunity to write for instruments and understanding what that is, and orchestras and chamber music, and you don't necessarily get nearly the same amount of expertise into writing for the voice, yet there's a lot of interest in that we want to write in opera. There's not a lot of opportunity, though, to write for voices, you know, especially when under less demanding circumstances than a commission. So the Composer in Residence program really provides a great opportunity to really just dig in with a lot of singers, learn very much about Fach and voice type and where all of that lies and how to write well. So Lembit actually predates me at Opera Philadelphia. Lembit was there a year and a half. I've been at the company about 5 years now. Lembit was there a year and a half before me. So out of that application process, yeah, there was various stages, various rounds that those 200 plus applicants go through. And then we get down to a kind of a final interview when we have finals, about 3 to 4 applicants, and we go from there, and Lembit was the very first one. And I think what I'll add to that, if you don't mind, sure, if I take a minute, which is, I don't think it's been said enough, but I think Lembit is a great reason of why we've ended up developing the program in the way that we did, and also how it massively affected our general new works practice. Lembit is somebody that works so uniquely, but explores and experiments and listens and just really has the play. He really pushes himself to work outside of what you would typically understand of what you would think of an operatic composer to be and the structure and confines of what that looks like. And he really is open and willing to do anything outside of and outside of the medium and the impact that that then has to what he does in his writing. And I think we learned so much from Lembit's kind of vision in that way and how he works that we ended up kind of matching that within our practice and started exploring a lot more into the way that we really develop a new work, so much so that literally is the groundwork of how we work now. We explore, we have like idea incubation and exploration before we even get to like a commission and an idea of what that is. And a lot of that, I think, really came out of conversations and watching Lembit work initially in those first 3 years.
Spectacular. We're gonna take a pause for 1 second and we'll bring Lembit Beecher to continue this conversation with Sarah Williams. Stay tuned. And we're back with In Tune with Opera Philadelphia again. I'm Mike Bolton. We had Sarah Williams, our New Works administrator, and then also Lembit Beecher, the composer of Sky on Swings. Lembit, you've been developing your musical identity and operatic identity through our Composer in Residence program. And I remember distinctly one of the things that we do during the Composer Residence program is we offer a program called Double Exposure, where the composer writes a scene and then that scene is then produced by two different artistic entities or teams, a different director, a different conductor, and a different cast, so that the composer sees different ways that their work might be interpreted. And I'll always remember, I think it was the first Double Exposure that we did, and you were exploring the theme of Alzheimer's 4 or 5 years ago. What has drawn you to this topic over such a long gestational period, maybe?
Well, that's a difficult question. First of all, thanks so much for having me here. I think so many of the works that I've been a part of they each take their own path, and for some reason this has been a longer path than many of them. I remember, even before Double Exposure, doing a little workshop as part of the residency program. Opera Philadelphia set me up with a whole bunch of different librettists, since I hadn't had a whole lot of experience writing opera, collaborating with librettists, partly to work on my own writing chops and also just to practice the collaborative process. And one of the little scenes I did was a scene about Alzheimer's, and I remember not loving what I wrote, but feeling the energy in the room afterwards, feeling how everyone had a deeply emotional response to the subject matter. Everyone had their own story, their relationship, and it felt like such a powerful starting point. The other thing that I remember thinking about Alzheimer's as a topic was that, first, I felt a little scared about trying to bring that to the operatic stage, but on the other hand, it felt like such a natural thing in a medium that's all about blurring the lines between the interior and the exterior. It felt like Alzheimer's, especially trying to approach Alzheimer's through the viewpoint of the people with Alzheimer's, felt really right for opera. I think it took a while for me to be comfortable with how specifically we might approach it. We had a workshop with Devise Theater Actors that Opera Philly helped set up, just trying a whole bunch of ideas. You know, Alzheimer's embodied as a creature, Alzheimer's in a very experimental way, in a very literal way. We had the experience with Double Exposure, which is fantastic. Fantastic for two reasons, because I think I loved seeing two directors approach my work, especially because I think when opera is successful, it's successful when there's a bit of a friction between, or contrast between, what I'm doing as a composer and what everyone else is doing, what the writer is doing, the librettist, what the director is doing, what the lighting designer is doing. And I think this is actually one reason why it's difficult to write opera coming out of schools. Mm-hmm. You don't write a lot for mm-hmm. voice coming out of school, and when you do write, it's art song.
Yeah.
And the mm-hmm. magic of art song is showing, painting every word, showing mm-hmm. every little nuance of emotion, and that's the exact thing you can't do in opera when you need to stretch across larger times, when you need to show subtext, when you need to show the energy of a scene rather than the energy of a specific statement. So I think that's one of the difficult things, and one of the things that I was really trying to learn through the residency program. Mm-hmm. And working in Double Exposure, it was great to see how two different directors would approach that, and how much they'd work against what I was writing, and how much they'd work with it.
Yeah.
Another great thing about Double Exposure was just talking to the audience members
yeah.
afterwards, because you present the scene and an opera, and they say, well, I don't know, I guess I liked it. But you present two versions of that,
yeah.
and they can immediately say, oh, well, I like that one more and that one less because of this. And they are sort of empowered to have an opinion, or empowered to trust their own instincts about
right.
what they liked and didn't like.
It's interesting. I have a lot of questions running through my head, but peripherally, we have two other guests who are nodding very enthusiastically here with Frederica von Stade and Marietta Simpson. And do you guys have questions?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it seems a lot of times, I like that you said that the audience felt empowered to have their own opinions about things in that Double Exposure experience, because a lot of times people don't feel like they can have their own opinion about
right.
about
yeah,
art forms.
The,
right.
the arc of opera is
yeah.
dictated to you by
exactly.
tradition and
exactly.
everything else.
Exactly.
So to have a place where you're safe.
Yes.
And particularly
yeah.
with new music,
mm-hmm.
there's just so much coming at you to absorb.
Right.
When you're going to see Traviata, you know what to expect.
Yeah.
Right.
And if it differs from your expectations, you are either excited by it or gravely disappointed by it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
with this, especially with this subject matter, the opportunities are endless. So I wonder, as a composer and with your whole creative team, how are you defining the vocabulary of Alzheimer's through music?
I think that was one of the most exciting things, or it's exciting questions to think about. I think one of the starting points was the idea that we were not going to define Alzheimer's in
mm-hmm.
any general
mm-hmm.
way,
right. mm-hmm.
and that there are every person's experience with Alzheimer's, every family's experience was different. And you hear these completely different stories of
mm-hmm.
someone, you know, who has been cranky their whole life turning into the most gentle person,
mm-hmm.
and the opposite happening. And you hear these incredibly intense and horrible stories. So we knew we weren't going to be truthful about Alzheimer's in some general way, and our version was not going to be ring true for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a big starting point. This is also a reason why I start thinking about the piece. I thought it'd be very important to have two characters with Alzheimer's. So you have two contrasting, somewhat similar
mm-hmm.
viewpoints on the disease. It's also something I was really interested in, what it would be like to form a new relationship
mm-hmm.
when you have Alzheimer's. And then taking the musical step, for me, I think the thing I was most inspired was meeting
mm-hmm.
Flicka and Marietta and hearing their voices. And I spent a wonderful couple of days in Indiana with Marietta and an afternoon with Flicka in Philadelphia. I brought in some sketches and I asked them to try some things and they sang some things for me.
What did you discover? What turned you on?
Marietta can mumble incredibly well.
I was just going to go, mum.
Both these beautiful little mum gestures.
It is kind of extraordinary.
But
yeah.
also, I asked her to do something where she moves from text into a mumble back to text. And I remember we tried it a couple of times, and it was... I think we both had to stop for a second because
right.
it was
right.
so strangely moving. And so much of the piece is about this line between... the loss of text and the line between text and emotion, that seemed like a very true gesture.
Absolutely. But here's the funny thing. When you're sitting there, when we met each other, Limbit, when you're talking to him, you are brought into his world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking, and the communication was so intense, and then we would do the musical examples, and of course the voices in my head are like, oh my god, I don't think I'm doing this, and then I don't know if I could do this, and then he would play some of the gestures, and there was one point when he did certain of these gestures and it was so
yeah.
intense and so emotional, we did just have to take a moment because it's the thing that musical does. We were talking about, you said a moment ago, the interior and the exterior, how it blurs that
mm-hmm.
line. And yeah, it was really profound, really profound.
I'd like to say, you know, first of all, I admire this company so much for the way it is, what
mm-hmm.
it's doing for opera, what it's doing for the city of Philadelphia, what it's doing for opera singers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really have loved so much about the project is having the workshops that we did,
mm-hmm.
getting to be together and for us to
mm-hmm.
see what you and Joanna and Hannah,
mm-hmm.
our director, and what they went through, and Jeff, how much care,
yeah.
thought, process was put into it. It's just, it was really wonderful to
Absolutely.
Be a part of that and see that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
This is a tough opera, dramatically, thematically, emotionally. How are you guys preserving, so you just had a final, or a room run today. How are you preserving sort of a safe space or a supportive space to allow everyone to be vulnerable and supportive at the same time?
Well, I mean, I think as performers, there's a lot of safety in one sort of thought, and that is do what you're told. and I was brought up in sort of convent schools and everything, so I'm well practiced in doing what I'm told. And that demands of a artist, of the singer, trust. Terrific trust. And I think from day one, I felt completely safe with this particular creative team and Marietta, and loved, you know, the voices of the elders. I mean, I just, it's something I have no experience of in my operatic world. And it's so deeply effective. And the words of Hannah's score of the libretto are so spot on. Not too much, not too little, not trying to explain, not, you know, they're just what they are.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the elders.
There's there are four characters who are called elders, who are of different ages, and they form a sort of chorus in addition to playing a couple small parts. And it's not totally clear who they are. At times they are related somehow to the disease itself. At times they are, you're not quite sure if they're maybe only in Martha, Marietta's character's imagination. At times there are a little bit of a conscience for the production. I'm curious what you think, Marietta, about them, since they're often interacting with you quite closely.
For me, they represent the voices in my head, but are they real? And then, well, they are sometimes real, but then they're in my head too. So that it's you know how just because you think they're after you doesn't mean it's not, you know, doesn't mean you're paranoid, whatever that saying is. You know what I mean? So it's like, if it's real to you, maybe it's real. You know, that's what they feel like to me.
Right.
They're so real to me. I almost feel like I walk in and out of realities. You know, and they're a part of both of them.
To go in a slightly nerdy direction and quote Harry Potter.
Yes.
At the end of book 7,
yes.
Harry asks Dumbledore, is this in my head or is this real? And Dumbledore said, of course it's just in your head, but that doesn't mean it's not real.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's the magic.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are you guys getting, Marietta and Federico, what are you getting out of this experience? You know, that's unique to your careers.
Oh, don't start with me, because I'll bust out crying.
I'll cry if you cry.
I'll cry even if no one else cries. That's how bad I am.
Oh, at this point in my career, I'm just, I was asked to do it, you know, I was so honored and excited and grateful that I would say that is, you know, pretty much where I am with it, you know. It could have been maybe a subject about plumbing. It's sort of like being asked to dance at a party, you know. You get to retirement, and if you're thought of, you're just grateful, and if they think you can do it, it's sure worth giving your all to try and do it. You know?
But you know what? Even when you were here for Coffin in Egypt, I was like, holy cow, she got a lot of voice left. It was stunning.
Thank you.
Oh my
thank
God.
Thank you, Michael. Some days.
Every day. Please, I've been in that room.
Everybody keeps coming out of her house like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Technique.
I really, you know, what I miss about opera or all the years of doing opera is the intense camaraderie, which isn't in every production, you know, but there is a really a deep affection among everybody in this. And I think it's the nature of the work, and I think mm-hmm. it's the nature of your music, mm-hmm. and I just feel it's an honor to be part of it. You know, and the Alzheimer's part of it, I have family members who have Alzheimer's, and both have passed away, and I didn't see what they went through as much, even though I've been with them at times, mm-hmm. but I saw what it did to their families, and there was never, ever, ever a lack of love. In the most intense parts of it, you know, these were two women who had, one aunt had five kids, the other one had four, and it was driven by love, either protecting their dad or and so I'm so proud of my cousins for how they handled it, you know, and feel real love for my two aunts that went through it in very different ways, a little bit like mm-hmm. Martha and Danny, mm-hmm. that one aunt was sort of at home with it and vague and troubled sometimes, but basically it's all right, you know, and she was steered around, you know, her kids took care of her, and the other aunt was more like my character of Danny. She was just furious and had a very advanced type of Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm going to be a mess during the show. Sorry.
That's okay. It's okay.
It's all right.
I mean, that's what I think about this show. What I think is great about it is that it's telling such a universal mm-hmm. story, like so many different stories. And we talked about this the other day, that the story that's being told on the stage is at one level, but then at another level, it allows you to see another story.
Yeah.
Right.
You know that the thing about the mumbling, okay, I'm going to cry. And yes, I do announce it all the time.
And now,
a word from our sponsor.
Kleenex.
That's right. Brought to you by Bob's Tissues.
Yes.
So that mumbling reminds me. So when my father was dying, he went through a phase where in the last day of his life, where he couldn't talk, but there was this mumbling thing, and that so reminds me of that. But he was so talking still, mm-hmm. but he couldn't, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a communication that happens, and my mother was standing there talking to him. And there's such a communication that happens between people that have a connection
mm-hmm.
that when there aren't
transcends
words, but that
words.
Transcends
yeah.
words,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that I just find so fascinating,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So to be able to have that moment in music, isn't that fascinating that that's there, you know, that you found a way to capture that?
Yeah.
And then also, I don't have, within my immediate family unit, there's not Alzheimer's, but within my larger family unit, we've dealt with mental disease. And that is, it's so devastating within families because, of course, there are humorous things that happens. I mean, you just have to laugh because, come on. Somebody thinks they're Jesus. I mean, you know, just have to laugh about the funny things that happen that come with that. But then there's the devastating things that happen mm-hmm. with that are just heartbreaking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how do you deal with that? And how do you show love and still deal with the devastating impact of all the things that happen with that?
And keep your patience.
Yes, and keep your patience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not let it rip your family apart. You know?
And I think the world today wants to segregate.
Mm-hmm.
lack of normality from their lives. You know, I have a dear friend who, when she was only 45, his wife had aphasia. She had a mini stroke. And, you know, it really, he had three kids, and they formed a bond that I don't think would have been there possibly
mm-hmm.
without this mm-hmm. devastating blow. And it was because of love and because of courage and because of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opportunity that, you know, we can have in this world of not
mm-hmm.
putting somebody away or not dealing with it or not dealing with the fact that it might be driving you insane, you know. You go farther by stepping into it than you do by stepping back from it.
And I love that the show makes you look at something that's not easy to look at.
Yeah.
And yet, within that, there's something really beautiful in it. There's still the human desire for intimacy. There's still the human desire for connection, you know.
An appreciation.
An appreciation for that.
Yeah.
You know, even through
Genuine comfort.
Yes.
And joy.
Yes. I was going to say there's humor. There is.
Yeah.
It runs the gamut of... Which I always say that I think Lembit is extraordinary in that way, and everything that Lembit does, there's this great humanity in the characters and in the music in ways of, you know, but it also feels so natural because you connect immediately to it. It's like you understand it. It's a new language because it's his. It's a different story. They're different people. It's a different orchestra. It's everything is always different. But there's something like this, there's this innate... natural way that you kind of like walk into his world because he has this way of just getting right at you in everything that is your that makes you up. It's extraordinary. You know, it never is kind of presented at you. It's never and it never feels like any way anything that he does as an audience member feels that way. And I remember Flicka said the other day, I remember it was in rehearsal, she said it just feels so natural. And I loved hearing you say that because I'd been thinking about that for years about his music. And And it also speaks to Joanna and the way that she works. I think you, Marietta Flicka, can speak to it better than I, but just even being in the room watching, I think already what Lembit has done and Hannah has done lends itself so naturally already. And then with watching Joanna work with everybody, with Flicka and Marietta, you know, it's really seamless. Like, you don't really see... someone walk from like off stage and then all of a sudden they're on. It's very special. There's just kind of this world that's happening and that everyone is already there. There's not kind of an off stage and on stage. They're just human beings in a room kind of taking
on
this amazing.
And there's not an explanation either, which I love. I love that in war stories too. I love that, you know, it. The point isn't, it's the story, but it isn't the end of the story. You know, there's not a period. Everything, it goes on.
Or
it takes
once,
you.
Yeah.
It takes you further.
Right.
You know.
So
well done, Lembit.
Yes, well done.
Absolutely.
So, how does this conversation make you feel, Lembit? There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of pride. There's a lot of joy in what you've done.
You sure
it's,
should be proud.
I feel very lucky to be working with such an amazing group of people. And this is a real credit on a number of levels, but it's a credit to David Devan, who has part of his great talent, I think, is finding, throwing people together. He picks someone from over here and someone here and puts them in a pot and stirs a couple times and then lets it go. But he has an instinct for these things, and he was the person who introduced Joanna Settle, the director, to me, and that was, she's not just a perfect person for this piece, but someone it's sort of hard to imagine not working with her actually going forward. And she brought together this amazing room of designers and assistants and who are combining with this spectacular cast. It just feels like such a special work environment, a no BS space. And Joanna cuts through, incredibly supportive, but cuts through any junk that's going on. One thing I love about her is working with the performers. She puts people in spaces, lets things happen. Mm-hmm. She doesn't tell you how to embody everything.
Yeah.
She wants you to embody yourself.
Yeah.
And she has this amazing, it feels like, and I don't know, you can obviously speak more to this as performers, but it feels like she suddenly gives you both the opportunity and the responsibility to to make choices. Mm-hmm. And she does that for the stars. She does that for every one of the 28 supers. Yeah. Maybe I'm 29 at this point. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Who are involved in the production. And makes them feel not only special, but feel like it's, they have a responsibility to embody,
mm-hmm.
bring who they are to the piece.
Yeah.
And that's
mm-hmm.
an incredibly special.
And she sees everything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She notices
mm-hmm.
everything.
Right.
I've never
seen. Yeah. You're thinking it slipped something by her.
No.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing
no.
gets by.
For you, Marietta, and Flicka, as the performers, what's giving you joy about the music and learning this piece?
One of the most special things for me is listening to this lady here who makes the lowest notes I've ever heard sound so beautiful, and also the fact that Danny is, her music is a little bit angular and
mm-hmm.
she's angry, and the contrast of that and the softness of the melodies and the humming and this sweet imagery, you know, of a memory. It physically sort of soothes you when you hear some of these beautiful tones and melodies and themes, you know.
Well, also for me, you asked earlier about what was, I forget the question, but your answer had gratitude in it. And that's one of, okay, here they come again. Here's our sponsor again. But the overwhelming feeling of gratitude for being able to sing this music.
Yeah.
Because it is so beautiful. There
yeah.
are parts in this that just, I mean, I would, you know, yes, I'd like to present this aria from Skyle Swings, you know,
yes.
it's
yes.
so beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Really.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to hear, to sit in a space next to this woman,
yeah.
honestly, is...
We're having a good time.
We are having a great time. We are having a great time. Honestly, it's there are things you imagine in your life and some things you
mm-hmm.
can't imagine, and so when they happen you're like, oh my God, is this my life? And this is one of those
I feel
moments.
The same. My,
yeah,
you know,
it's one of those moments.
We're just so lucky.
Yeah.
You just think,
yeah.
oh gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was gonna add to that, that when we were still at the very beginning stages of this being put together, and I think we you know, we Hannah Lembit and Joanna went on like an artist retreat, and we often will do that in portion of the development because it really helps storyboard and it gives them such a great idea to create
so
a foundation.
Helpful.
It's so important into an exploration process, into new work. Anyway, my point is that out of that we learn a lot about who the characters were, and we got a lot of kind of interesting dialogue with Lembit and Joanna and Hannah about who they, you know, where the characters were forming and what that kind of looked like. And I often will then kind of take that information and I start talking to Michael Eberhardt, who's our artistic administrator, and we kind of sit in his office and close doors, powwow, and go back and forth and think out loud. And it's actually a really beautiful part of the process. And the two people that we said immediately were Flick and Marietta.
Mm.
There was never anybody else that we even talked about. And I remember we had a call with Lembit and Hannah and Joanna and went back and forth and all this stuff and kind of then got the phones with Flick and Marietta. It was just kind of innate. It was almost like the characters spoke to everybody about exactly who they were. There was so, they were immediately cast and they were willing.
I was gonna say, when Michael
yeah.
sent me that email, I was blown away. And then we spoke on the phone and I was, Michael, I'm blown away. and totally
yeah.
honored that
yeah,
you even
too.
Thought of
me,
me
too.
For this. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure
yeah.
to have all of you here, and thank you for taking time. If you don't have tickets to Sky on Swings, you better get them because there's not going to be a lot left. You can find out information about Sky on Swings, which opens on Thursday, September 20th, for five performances at the Perlman Theater here in Philadelphia. More information at operaphila.org. My name is Mike Bolton. We have been joined by, around the table, Marietta Simpson, Flicka von Stade, Sarah Williams, and composer Lambert Beecher.